bless you, Jesus. Is it running? Yep. Okay. So, this morning I want to speak about strongholds. Can someone tell me what a stronghold is? What is a stronghold?
Train of thoughts.
Train of thoughts? Good. That's good. What else? Does the word mindset ring a bell? See, when what we refer to as salvation is really the first step in our relationship with God, in His plan for our lives. And His plan includes conforming us to the character of Christ. Galatians 4:19, actually the mandate of this church, that we would know Him, that we would know Him.
Yes.
If we hope to spend an eternity with Him, we need to know Him.
Yes.
And if we fail to understand the working that God wants to do in us, then most areas in our soul will remain untouched. What's the soul?
Mind,
will, emotions. The strongholds are in there. The strongholds, they sit in our mindset, and they're, as you say, a train of thought, a group of thoughts that predispose us to think in a particular direction. And most of us have them, if not all. And then there are filters within those, so that you and I could hear the same exact sentence. We could all hear it, and we would probably have 15 different interpretations because of the filters we have in place. That when we hear something, we're predisposed to think in a particular way. If you have had a wonderful relationship with your mother, and I talk about mothers, then you have all kinds of wonderful things that come up. But if you've had a difficult relationship with your mother, then a whole bunch of other thoughts come up.
Yes.
That's a filter. We filter through our experience, how we see things, what we have experienced, and what's going on in our own hearts. So pulling down strongholds, that's the destruction of, or the removal of, old ways of thinking and replacing them with God's point of view. And the main scripture for that, and I'm going to read it to you so you don't even have to look it up, but I'll give you the reference. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5, and I'm going to read the Amplified version. For though we walk and live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they're mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. What did I just say? What did you hear? Somebody, tell me what you just heard.
That we are different than we were before.
Okay, well, that's the goal. But what did I just read? If you were to sum it up in a sentence.
The battle is spiritual.
The battle is spiritual, yes. What battle?
Against strongholds.
Sorry?
Against strongholds.
That we all have thought patterns in our heads, and that especially those of us who got saved later on. I was 30 when I got saved. I had lots of strongholds. Predisposed ways of thinking that were not healthy. And I had to learn to embrace God's perspective. And as we read and meditate in the Word of God, we start to see God's perspective. When we see His perspective and it contradicts what we're currently thinking, we have a choice to make then. We can choose to say, no, I like my way of thinking and stay with it. Or we can say, okay, this is the way God thinks and I need to think like He thinks. So I need to change this area. You see, every, we'll call it successful deliverance, begins by first removing anything that defends or protects the enemy. Because many of the strongholds have been put there through the thoughts of the enemy. In spiritual warfare, Paul uses the word stronghold to define the spiritual fortress where Satan and his minions hide and are protected. What do I mean? Well, I mean that the fortresses that I'm talking about here exist in the thought patterns and ideas that govern individuals, churches, cities, and nations. At one time, communism was just a thought. Just a thought. But it was embraced and built upon till it became what it is today. But in the Old Testament, a stronghold was a fortified dwelling that was used as a means of protection against the enemy. David, for example, in 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 14 and 15, he hid from King Saul in what the Bible calls the wilderness strongholds. They were physical structures, usually caves on a mountainside and very, very difficult to assault against. And it was with this image in mind that inspired the writers of the Bible to adapt the word stronghold to represent the powerful and vigorously protected mindsets and thought patterns that we have. Now, a stronghold can also be protection against the devil. Psalm 18 verse 2 talks about how the Lord is my stronghold. But for the most part, it's a defense for the devil, where demonic or sinful activity is defended and protected within us by our sympathetic thoughts towards what God regards as evil. For example, someone has done something to you that is very cruel and unkind, and lo and behold, something happens to them that's very cruel and unkind. And you respond, good, they deserved it. What goes around comes around. And there's a sense of pleasure in their distress. So that's a stronghold. That's a stronghold. That I want revenge against those who have hurt me. The problem with that is that when I embrace that stronghold, when I embrace those thoughts, they become a blockage between me and God. Because God says, never repay evil for evil. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. It belongs to Him to deal with it, not us. And for some of us, that's very hard to do because our personalities are not passive. You know, it was very hard for me to learn that and deal with it because I have grew up being someone who just dealt with matters directly. And learning to let it be in God's hands was a long and arduous process for me to embrace and still embracing. I don't think it ever ends because there's always new events, shall we say, that will come across your path. But if you think through that if you allow those kind of thoughts, even if you don't act on them, you're just enjoying their pain, it's still a blockage between you and God. Because God doesn't look at it that way. And if I want to develop an intimacy with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit, if I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, if I want to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, the word see there, that word see means I'll be admitted into the presence of God and He will share His thoughts with me. That's what that word means. But what's the condition? Pure in heart. Pure in heart. Pure in heart. What does that mean, pure in heart? What do you hear when you see that? What do you think of? It's important. What do you think when you see pure in heart?
Related to your motives.
Yep. A little louder, please.
No malice
in your heart. Actually, it goes beyond that, but you're on the right track. Someone who's pure in heart doesn't even think of revenge. That person sees the best. I remember hearing a story, or reading a story, excuse me, years ago, about this guy in town, in somewhere in the States, and he was a real miserable so-and-so, and most of the town people hated his guts, and he did terrible things there. He would shoot at people. Even the police were afraid to go near him. And one day he died, and the whole town celebrated. They actually had a celebration, except for one man. And this fellow was known to be like this. And so they said to him, "You must have some thoughts on that guy. What do you think of him?" And he said, "Didn't he have pretty eyes?" That was his response. Let me tell you, we don't get there overnight. Most never get there. But if you want to connect with God, if you want to connect with God, if you want to be admitted into His presence and have Him share His thoughts with you, as well as His blessings, then we have to be willing to be conformed and forego the ways of the flesh. And that's difficult to do, because the Bible defines a bad stronghold here as every lofty thing, every lofty thought, we could say, that's raised up against the knowledge of God. So as we read the knowledge of God, which is the Word of God, and we experience things, you know, where someone does something that is inappropriate, or that someone says something about you and gossips about you behind your back, or takes your parking spot, or anything, whatever, that's a challenge. How do we respond to that? Someone gets promoted and you should be. How do we respond to that? A demonic stronghold is any type of thinking that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Something that says, "You deserved it. You should do such and such to get even." When we do that, we're in darkness. And that's where the Bible talks about, don't give him a foothold. Don't give him a foothold. Because you give him an inch, he'll take a yard. Very difficult. The only way that we can even hope to accomplish this is by soaking in the Word daily. We don't have the strength otherwise. We need the spiritual strength that comes from soaking in the Word of God. That's the only way you're going to be able to do it. Is it important? Well, let me tell you, when the day Jesus returns or you die, whatever comes first, you will think it's very important. Very. You know, I remember being in high school and on the exams. We'd had provincial exams that would come. And I'd be sitting there thinking, oh God, I wish I'd studied. Wish I'd studied. But I was lucky. I had a friend beside me who studied. So he wrote it for me. We sat right in front of the proctor. Right in front, exactly where they didn't expect us to be. Practically in his lap. And he'd never think that people sitting in front of him would cheat. He was always checking at the back. But you won't be able to do that in heaven. And I paid for that, by the way, after. I mean, I don't know a thing about physics. I don't know anything about geography. You know, I have to use OnStar if I'm going somewhere. I mean, there's always a price to be paid for the things we do. There really is. And God is looking for people who will love Him with all of their hearts. See, once we're deceived, we don't know we're deceived. We don't. Most of us are not sharp enough to be able to say, boy, I'm deceived. We're not. And so we need to do here what Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. I'm going to read it to you here. It's an important thing to do on a regular basis. It's a psalm of David, and he says here, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now that's a wonderful prayer, but if we don't do it in sincerity, it won't help. You know, there's people say, okay, God, am I doing anything wrong? Nope. Okay. You understand what I'm saying? That it takes time and an honest heart. Any area of our heart or our mind that is not surrendered to God is an area that is open to the demonic attacks. And He's relentless. Relentless. That's why we need, I think it's Philippians 2:3, the humility of Christ to allow the Spirit of God to search our hearts. You're going to spend an eternity in heaven, I hope. You're going to want to do this. When you get to heaven, you won't be thinking about the basketball game you missed or the promotion that didn't happen. You'll be thinking of, oh my God, all the sins that I have, and I'm here with God. That'll be what we're thinking about, unless we've dealt with them. Unless we've dealt with them. And here is our opportunity, while we live here on earth, to do so. And that's what the Bible tells us. Pull these strongholds down, because the enemy feeds on them. He feeds on them. Anything he can do to destroy your soul, he will do. And there's no lack of people to cause you aggravation. Let me say that again. There's no lack of people to cause you. You don't ever have to pray, God, send someone to try me. No one ever has to pray that prayer, ever. It comes all by itself. And how we respond to that will determine our future. Especially how we habitually respond to these things. You're seeing more and more these days that there's an abundance of hate. Compared to 50, 60 years ago, it's remarkable how things have changed. And yet, Jesus talked about it. He said, in the last days, lawlessness will abound. It'll just abound. Lawlessness, what is lawlessness? What's lawlessness? In other words, there is no God. Make my own decisions, however it pleases me, situational ethics. And we see that all over the place now. All over. The backlash against Georgia is kind of mind-boggling what's going on now. They're gathering across the nation to go there. Georgia recently passed an abortion law. And you would think that they passed a law that allowed pedophiles to come in. The people are just treating it as if they're horrible, horrible people. But that's the mindset of today. It's the mindset that is increasing all over. And only God can help us in that. Only God. Only God. See, to the degree that you and I allow anything at all, it's like, you know the seed? I've talked about a seed many times, but when we allow something to come in and stay there, that's a seed. And it doesn't take very long for it to start to grow into a habit, into a thought pattern, a mindset, and eventually a stronghold. And most of the strongholds, as I said, they're not easy to deal with. Because it becomes a habit. This is the way I see the world now. And it blocks me from seeing God. See, where there's any kind of hatred or bitterness, animosity, desire for revenge, jealousy, lust, selfishness, you're going to find anywhere where that's abounding in someone's life, there are all kinds of demonic minions feeding on that, wanting it to increase, telling you you're fully justified. Jesus didn't have any strongholds. In fact, he said, the enemy's coming in John 14:30, but he has nothing in me. And boy, was he criticized. He was criticized by professionals. So you and I want to get to the place where we can get rid of the strongholds that are hindering our relationship with God, but also get to the place where we can deflect it off before it gets in. It's a lot easier to deflect it off than it is to deal with it after it's become a stronghold inside. Much, much easier to do that. But first we have to come to the place where we realize we need God's help. We need God's help. And ask Him to examine our hearts. Examine it. Because when we received the Lord and got saved, a lot of things got broken that we don't have to do anything about. But James tells us, does anyone know what I'm talking about in James here? Chapter 1, verse, I think it's 21. Receive Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to sozo your soul. For years I puzzled over that, trying to figure out, I'm already saved, what do I need this for? But I finally smartened up and realized that your soul didn't get born again. Your spirit did. Your spirit is born again. Your soul needs God's help. And it is changed over time by implanting the Word of God, which will change the way we see the world. We'll see it through God's eyes. And we'll be very grateful we've done that, because when we come and stand before the Lord, we won't be shying back. The Bible talks about how when the Lord returns, there's going to be those who have called on His name, but they're shying back in terror. Just an absolute terror. Because they know in their hearts they're not right with God. That's why it's so important for you and I to let God sift us. Let Him sift us. It's much less painful to do it here than it is to see it in our face after. As difficult as you may think it is here, trust me, it's a lot easier to deal with it here. While we live on this earth, there's going to be pressure. All kinds of pressure to think and do things that are against the Word of God. You know, especially many businessmen have difficulty because they could do things under the table and make lots of money and not have any difficulty. But in order to do things as God wants, that's the hard way of doing it. But it's the right way. It's God's way of doing things. Same as any area that we hold back from God. We say, okay, God, you can deal with this and this and this, but I don't want you in this part of my life. That's the area the enemy's going to work the hardest in. We call that our uncrucified thoughts and unsanctified attitudes. And that's where the enemy will target to hurt you. He will do his absolute best to destroy you in that area. Now, I'm not talking about a random thought or an occasional, you know, feeling of that. I'm talking about something that is consistent in your life. It's consistent and it's been there a long time. And it's hurting. It's causing difficulties. Like I used to have I used to have a spirit of anger years ago. Not an attitude, a spirit of anger. And it was extremely destructive. And I couldn't see it. For years, I couldn't see it. I thought, if you didn't aggravate me, I wouldn't be angry. That was my thought pattern. The day I smartened up was the day I took a door and just pulled it towards me and hit it with my elbow and shattered it. I thought, that's not possible. I didn't hurt my elbow. How can you? And I realized, I have a spirit of anger in me. And it probably took me, you know, you break its power, but to get rid of it totally, probably a year. A year of continually dealing with attitudes that would rise up, realizing that this is not from God. It's a process to pull down the strongholds, but you got to identify them first. You've got to identify what you're dealing with. And then repent. Repent. It's a word we don't hear too often, but it's a necessary word in our relationship with God. And God will help us because He doesn't want you and I to be under the control or influence of the enemy. In Matthew chapter 12, around verses 42 or so, Jesus talks about when you cast out an evil spirit, it goes out and it's seeking rest. Seeking rest. What does that mean, seeking rest? Well, it's a sense of rest where that word originates from being in harmony with its environment. So it is looking for someone who will embrace its way of thinking. In other words, that whether it's a fear or anger or something, whatever it may be, it is looking for someone where it can slip in under the radar and just kind of fit in with that person's thought patterns. And they don't even know it's there. They don't even know it's there. That's the kind of thing where it's looking for somewhere where it will feel at home. And we don't want it to feel at home in us.
Amen.
Because its sole purpose is to destroy you. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't come for any other reason. And God wants you and I to be free of these things. He wants you to be free of them. Because long term, it'll cause so much trouble. It brings oppression. Oppression. And I remember, I can tell you this now, he's dead. Mark Hall. Most of us, some of us know him. I got a call years ago to go to his home. He hadn't moved in 3 days. A spirit of fear gripped him. Literally gripped him. And he couldn't move. He couldn't talk. He just looked absolutely terrified. Terrified. And it took probably 20, 30 minutes. I'd never really dealt with a spirit of fear so much until then. But it took about 20, 30 minutes to break its power over him. Literally break it. And to cast it out of him. Because it was owning every part of his life. Every part of his life. And the transformation after that was almost like night and day. That he went from someone who couldn't think, couldn't move, couldn't do anything, to being a normal person again. That's what the enemy wants to do to us. Paralyze us. He wants to paralyze us. If not with fear, then with something else. There are all kinds of them. Since then, I've seen a few times where we've dealt with the spirit of fear. And it's always the same thing. They paralyze the person's life. We went to a lady's house who hadn't been out of her house in, I think, 18 months. She couldn't leave it. She was so afraid. So afraid. That took a couple hours. But she finally got free. Now, whether she stayed free or not, I don't know. But she was free that night. These things, these servants from hell come only to hurt you. They don't come for any other reason, only to hurt as much as they can. And that's where we need the discernment of God. We need the discernment. The Holy Spirit, He knows exactly what to do. In every circumstance, He knows what to do. Our problem is hearing Him. And He does want to tell us. Do you know that He wants to tell us? Yes? No? Okay, let's look at John chapter 16. I guess we need to see it. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. And He says, one of the roles or purposes, John 16:12 says, I have many things to say to you, but you can't hear them now. You won't be able to understand it. It'll go over your head and you'll be lost. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will speak, He won't speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. That's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit. His job is to tell us things that we need. But we need to be able to hear Him. And in case you're not convinced, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Once again, he says, let's see here, the hidden wisdom of God. You can read the whole chapter, but I want to focus just where I want to. Verse 10, but God has revealed the things that He's prepared for us through His Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. And then it goes down in verse, I think it's verse 13, where it says the Holy Spirit's role is interpreting. Now I'm literally reading from the Greek. Interpreting, revealing, and communicating spiritual truths to spiritual people, spirit to spirit. That's what He wants to do. He wants to tell you, He wants to protect you, He wants to lead you, and He wants to guide you. But we have to be at a place where we can hear Him and understand Him. And if we are filled with a stronghold of bad things, it's very hard to hear God. Very hard. Years ago, when I was doing clinical psychology, I went to the Verdun Asylum in Montreal. And it was amazing to see, I was doing a paper on schizophrenia, and amazing to see the people who were catatonic. That's one of the types of schizophrenia. And they would literally just sit there for months. And if you didn't come and move them from here to there, they wouldn't go. If they didn't take them to the bathroom, they would just do it wherever they were. They were completely unresponsive. Their mind was taken over by demons. Now, of course, at that time I wasn't saved, so I didn't know it was demons, but their minds were gone, literally gone. And it was pretty scary to see that. And not as scary as being on the paranoid ward, but it was pretty scary. Those are the kind of things where the enemy comes in and he will do anything he can to destroy your life. Anything. And the only protection you and I have is the Spirit of God. So we desperately need to stay close to Him. And He loves you. He's gracious, merciful. You know, what is it? The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies all over our lives. His tender mercies means His blessings of peace, joy, healing, wholeness, and so forth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Any questions? Sorry, speak loud.
What is the one, like, what are the strongest strongholds that people face? And what are the greatest deceptions Christians have?
Jeez. Got an hour? I mean, it's... What are the strongest strongholds? Okay, that was one. What was the other part?
What are the greatest deceptions that Christians walk?
I think pride is probably one of the worst things we have to deal with, personally, to be honest. I think pride blinds people from even being willing to see what's in their heart and what's gone wrong. I think unbelief is another one. You grow up, particularly if you grew up, whatever church you grew up in, you believe what they believe, you know, unless you completely reject it. I grew up in the Catholic Church and then just totally walked away from it. But people who stay there believe everything the Catholic Church says. And if you are in a church that doesn't believe God heals, you won't get healed. If you're in a church that doesn't believe in tongues, you'll never speak in tongues. I mean, it's... We believe the things that we're told. If your parents didn't believe this, then you're likely not to believe it either. That's where the danger is, that pride blinds us to other possibilities and can paralyze our lives. The most destructive is probably a stronghold of pornography. Apparently that's rising right across North America. Even as among pastors in the church, it's just as prevalent as it is in the regular, you know, the non-saved world. So there are things that are going on. Jesus said, in the last days, lawlessness will abound. It's abounding. So how do you deal with that? Well, there's only one way to deal, and that is that you've got to bring it to the cross, bring it to Christ, and then you've got to safeguard it. You know, like if someone has a stronghold of pornography, they've got to safeguard it. And what do I mean by that? Well, I mean that put something on your computer that you can't access it. Don't go or talk to the people that you have been sharing that with. You have to put fences in place until you become strong enough to be able to just resist it. Pride's a little more difficult because... not too many people want to admit, you know, it's not a problem, I'm just proud. You know, there's not a lot of people willing to do that. Did you want to ask them? No? Okay. The answer to your question could take hours, but that's the quick and dirty answer, you know. Any others? Any thoughts on that? It's such an important area. You know, what you think is so important. What we allow into our thoughts. And that you can change it if you want to, but you have to really want to. Because God doesn't make any of us do anything we don't want to do. But you will have to deal with it, you know, at the end. It's not like we can just simply ignore it forever and ever. Okay, well, the Lord bless you and keep you, and give you wisdom and grace, and fill you with His compassion. God bless you.